Hey, we finished up a series of teachings, and next week we're going to begin a new series. That means we're between series, and that means this morning we are going to enjoy the teaching of Wally Adebogan. And so, Wally, come on up. I know I've seen the notes, and I know he's got something real good prepared for us this morning. Wally, we always appreciate your ministry, and Wally, give us the goods
all right,
this morning.
Thank you.
We're so
well. Let's put hands together for Jesus this morning.
Yeah,
great. It's time to receive from God. You know, when we do worship, right, we give to God. We give our praises to Him. And then when it's time for the Word, it's God speaking to us. It's God impacting our lives, right? So are we ready to receive from Him this morning?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's do that. You know, just a few minutes ago while I was standing there, there's something that came to my mind, and I thought we're going to start with that this morning. And it's praying for people who want to start a family and people who have been believing God for a child. That just came and God just dropped that in my mind. So I thought I'll do that and then we'll get into the Word this morning. So can we do that? Mm-hmm. Actually, if you don't mind, can you stand with me and let's just believe God for. So if you're here this morning, you've been believing God to have a child, and maybe you've been to the doctor and they're like, things aren't working out. I just sense the presence of God here. I sense the anointing of God to touch you for supernatural things to happen this morning. Thank you. Believe with me, we can join our faith together and ask the Lord to do something great. And 9 months' time, guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to be celebrating. So let's pray together. Father, thank you because you're a good God. And you're a God that sends your word in due season. And so, Lord, I just want to agree with everyone that might be here today and they've been believing you to have a child. And I pray that, Lord, today as a congregation that you'll reach out to them. Yes. Let your divine touch come upon them in the name of Jesus. I don't know what they've been to, the gynecologist and the obstetrician, and they said different things. I know that you're the God that has all spare parts in your hands. Yes. You're the God that can replace anything that might be malfunctioning. And so, Lord, I pray that you will supply all that is necessary for your word to be fulfilled in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Father, your word talks about Abraham and Sarah. Even at an old age, you were still able to bless them. You fulfilled your word concerning them. Thank you because children are the heritage of the Lord. And we thank you that you're giving this ones their heritage, Lord, today. We receive it by faith and with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's put hands together for Jesus. That's done. Yeah. Amen. Let's be seated. I hope your wife is not whispering to you, we're not having more babies. All right. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Brian, for this opportunity to share God's word. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Barbara, as well. We do appreciate your ministry at Gateway. I know that we don't get to say it often, but I want you to know that as a church, right? We appreciate Pastor Brian and Pastor Baker. Thank you. Thank you. You've been providing us great leadership, and we thank God for your life. Thank you so much. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We just know that you speak to us in these few minutes that we have together, and her heart is open. And we pray that this word will fall in a vital place in our hearts today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Guess what I'm speaking on today?
Family
business. Someone's like, family business, what's that? All right, Genesis chapter 25. If you have your Bible with me, I'm just going to read just one verse. And then we're going to get started. Genesis 25 and verse 5. We're going to be talking a lot about Abraham this morning. And so Genesis 25, verse 5. And I'm pretty excited about this topic that I'm talking about this morning. And I know God's going to do something great in our life in Jesus' name. And the church say,
amen.
Amen. So Genesis 25, verse 5 says, and Abraham gave everything he owned to his son Isaac. Abraham gave everything he owned to his son, Isaac. As you look at that passage, and if you read it in detail, we're just talking about towards the end of Abraham's life and the many things that had happened. And then this particular verse, as I was studying it, although Abraham had a lot of possession, cattle, servants, and all those other things, that he gave everything that he had, that he gave it to his son Isaac. But then, it was not just about the material possession. It was about the greatest possession that Abraham had. And that was what he was able to give to Isaac. If you go to Genesis chapter 15, even 16 and 17, God had appeared to Abraham, and God said, I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. In other words, God was saying that, hey, I'm giving myself to you as a possession. You can have me. So when the Bible talks about Abraham giving everything he had to Isaac, it was not just talking about the material possession. It was talking about passing on something greater than the material possession. You know, I work with a lot of clients in the bank, and some people have plans of leaving a lot of money for their kids, for retirement and stuff and things like that. And those things are great. In fact, the Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his seed after him, right? So those things are good, and we should totally do that. But much more is leaving something greater than the physical possession. And that's what Abraham did, and which is what we want to look at this morning. I'm going to tell a little story, and the story I'm going to tell is actually going to be a summary of the Bible. How many of us know that God is a master planner? Yeah. He's got everything all planned out. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that the thoughts that God has towards us, they are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give us a hope and a future. So he has a plan. He has some thoughts. He has some great ideas he wants to accomplish in our lives. And not just in our lives, the human race as a whole. So in Genesis chapter 1, as we all know, God created the heaven and the earth, right? And God was looking for something similar to what he looked like. And guess what God did? He created man. He made us. Yeah, that's what he did. The Bible says that we are created in the image of God. So God had a plan to create something that will look like him, something that will share fellowship with him, something that would take care and take custody of the earth and all the beautiful things he had made. And that was the intention of God when God created man. The first man happens to be, what's his name?
Adam.
Thank you. So when God created him at the point, that was the plan that God had. Unfortunately, we got this guy who was kicked out of heaven. And Pastor Brian was saying a little bit about that too on Wednesday night when we met. Was kicked out. If you read Isaiah chapter 12, there's a man, Lucifer, who was kicked out of heaven, which we all now know as the devil and Satan. He was kicked out of heaven. He was one of the great angels in heaven. But he became proud, rebelled against God, and so he was kicked out of heaven. Unfortunately, he took one of the three of the angels with him. And since that time, he was always looking for a way to interrupt God's plan. So God had a plan, and his plan was to have someone he would share fellowship with, someone that would enjoy his creation, someone that everything would just be perfect, just like it was in the garden. But here we have the devil looking for a way to interrupt this plan. And you know, the bad news is that he hasn't even stopped doing that till today. That's why we have so much evil in the world today. Today's September 11, right? When you remember that terrible day that happened in the U.S., right? That's part of the devil's work. That's part of the devil's agenda, trying to usurp the things that God is doing on earth. No wonder the Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil does. He has no other ministry than to steal. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our happiness. He wants to kill. You know, he wants to kill people. That's why sometimes he influences people to be drunk and then get it and drive and kill people innocently. things like that. And he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy beautiful things. He wants to destroy the life of our kids. He wants to destroy marriage. He wants to destroy everything that God has instituted. But you know what? God can never be stranded. How many of us know God can never be stranded?
Amen.
He's got a plan, and then there is someone trying to interrupt this plan, but he's got it all figured out. And so this morning, if you're here today and you find that there are a lot of things going on that is not in line with maybe what God told you at the beginning of the year, I just want you to know that God is able to accomplish what he has said concerning you. So God cannot be stranded at all. His word is true. He has a perfect plan for us. And to express this plan, God decided that he was going to look for a man called Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham and said, I want you to leave your father's country. I'm going to show you a beautiful place that you're going to go to. And I'm going to raise earth, and I'm going to use you to bless the whole world. And that's exactly what God did. And God's still doing that today. So when you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about the genealogy of Jesus. And as it was explaining it in verse 1 there, it talks about Jesus Christ, the son of David, and the son of Abraham.
Amen.
Because God was going to look for a seed of man, which was going to come through Abraham, the offspring of Abraham, through whom he would redeem the world and restore man back to his original place. So don't forget, God had a plan. The devil came, wanted to interrupt the plan. And so God had a restoration plan. He had a redemption plan. And he was going to start that redemption plan through a man called Abraham. And then it went on and on until we came to Jesus. And then Jesus accomplished that great work for us on the cross and brought that restoration back, bringing man to his full place. And eventually, everything is going to be all together again. So that's the plan that God has, and that's actually what the Bible talks about. That's a summary of the Bible. God has a plan. There's a guy trying to interrupt the plan. Jesus came to restore us back to that original plan. And if we're keying to the plan of God, what happens? We will be part of that great plan that he has. Amen. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Let's see what it says. It says, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation. This is God speaking. And all nations of the earth will be blessed through him. And verse 19, I want you to pay attention to that. It says, for I have chosen him, so he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. So God had a plan. And here in this scripture, God himself stood. God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the perverseness that was going on in there. And then God stopped by, wanted to have a chat with Abraham. And God said, well, can I hide from Abraham? What am I about to do on earth? And God started speaking about what he wanted to do. But there was something great that God said there. He said, for I know Abraham, that he's going to teach his children the way of the Lord. Is going to make sure that they continue with this plan that I have. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is how you and I can carry on, can feed ourselves into this great plan that God has. This plan is still ongoing. This plan is not fully accomplished yet. This plan of restoration of mankind, this plan of God restoring us back to original place is ongoing. Jesus did it in a very, very great way, but the plan is not fully accomplished yet. And so God is saying that we need you today to be part of that plan. God is saying that I need you and your seed after you and your generation after you and your kids after you to carry on this wonderful plan of mine. So the call that God is making to us today is a call to transfer our faith to the next generation. The call that God is making to us today is that this movement of restoration, this movement, this divine plan of God, that it will not end with our own generation, but that we can pass it on from one generation to another. Just like the Bible talks about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Wouldn't it be nice and say the God of Darren. Darren, what's the name of your son?
Lauren.
Lauren. And say the God of Darren and the God of Lauren and then Lauren's child, right? Wouldn't that be great, right? That's exactly the plan of God, that we pass it on from one generation to another. And that's the call that God is making to us today. So it's a family business. God is saying that I want you to make it a family business. You know, those that are in the world today, they get this principle. How do I know that? Sometimes you see we have families of veterans, people who are like four generations of veterans. They pass it on. You also find even in the business world today, Donald Trump is a good example. His father was in construction business. He's doing that right now. He's passing on to his first son as well. And the other kids as well, they're doing that as well. So people that are in the world, non-Christians, they get this principle. So you find people passing things on from one generation to another to keep it alive. And that's exactly what God wants us to do, to keep our faith alive. So you and I have a responsibility to pass what we have. Because what we have is so great. What we have is so cherishable. Imagine the peace that you get as God. Imagine the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. There might be troubles all around, but if you know Jesus, you sense that peace. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? You sense that peace. You may not have money in your account, but you know that you're prosperous. You know that you're blessed because God says that you are blessed. The Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the will of God for us. So when you're a believer, what we have is so great. We don't talk enough about it. We don't talk enough about the fact that being a Christian is a great advantage. We need to talk more about that. We need to talk to a true, yeah, clap. Give your hands. Give it to the Lord. We need to let the world know that what we have is great. What we have is awesome. The joy, the ecstasy that we'll feel as a child of God is wonderful. Amen. Being a Christian is the best thing that can ever happen to you. Right. Yeah. And you know what? The world just needs to know that. Publicize that enough. Sometimes they feel we're weird. Sometimes I feel like, what are these people doing? Like this morning, I felt the anointing of God upon me. I just felt like shouting, and that's all I felt like doing, and shouting and shouting. You know, sometimes that's how you feel. Right. You know, there's that scripture that talks about, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes you wonder, why does the scripture compare being drunk with being filled with the Spirit? Because sometimes when you're really filled with the Spirit, you act in some bold manners, not in a negative way now, but you act in some bold manners that things just, it's just great. You can't explain the joy. You can't explain how you feel. You just know that God is awesome. Yeah. So we've got something great. And the challenge to you and I this morning is we've got to pass it on to the next generation. So how do we do that? Very quickly, I want to talk about seven things that we can do to pass it on to the next generation. What can I do as a father of two twin girls to make sure that I pass it on to them and to make sure that they are able to pass it on to their children after them? That's what we're talking about today. Don't forget, we've got something great, and we've got to pass it on. What's the first thing we've got to do is we have to know God for ourselves. That's the starting point. There is no shortcut to it, right? Because what you don't have, you cannot give. Isn't that true? Right. You can't give it. So the first thing is we have to be to separate ourselves to God. We have to develop a personal walk with God. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, you see there, I'm just going to read quickly. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Say, walk before me and be blameless. God reached out to him. God gave him a call there. Say, walk before me. Just the same manner that Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 was saying that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest. So the starting point for us is we need to be born again. We need to know Jesus. We need to confess him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he gave that open invitation for you to come receive the free gift of God. And if only you believe in him, and then you'll be saved. It's that easy. You may be looking at yourself, I've done some bad stuff. I don't know if he can save me and things like that. There are people that did worse than that. Remember the guy beside Jesus, the thief that was hung with him. Yeah. What happened? He reached out to Jesus, and Jesus said, oh, see you in paradise. Yeah. I think that guy was a lucky guy, you know. And you know what? We are all lucky people, too, because that same invitation is open to us as well. So if you're here this morning, maybe you're young, or maybe you're younger, because I can't use the word, you know what I mean, right? Because everybody wants to feel young. That invitation is open to you as well. So you can start where you are. We're going to be praying that prayer we pray at the end of the service every time, right? So pray with us. And when you do that, you notice a change. There's a transformation that takes place in your life. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I prayed that prayer November 13, 2001, and my life has not remained the same since then. And I'm glad that I made that decision. Mm-hmm. As a young teenager, I made that decision. So if you're a teenager here this morning, you may feel like, oh, I think I want to enjoy my life. I want to be cool first, and then I can do that church thing later. You know what? It's cool to be a Christian. That's the greatest, coolest choice you can ever make, being a Christian. It might not be popular to your friends, but you know what? If you make that decision, you would really, really enjoy it. So I encourage you to come on board today. If you haven't made that decision, you need to come to Jesus. That's the first thing that we need to do if we're going to pass it on to the next generation, if we're going to pass it on to our kids, if we're going to carry on the family business. What's the next thing that we need to do? We need to have a family altar. That sounds like an old word, but like family altar, what's that? You need to have a time as a family where you pray and when you share the word of God together. That's in simple terms, that's what that means. You know, recently we started doing that. Usually my wife and I, we would normally pray with the girls being young at the time. We figured out they didn't know what was going on anyway. But now we sense that now they're getting close to three. They really know what's going on. They know the music that's playing on radio, and they know all those other things. So we decided, okay, we're going to start our family altar now. So we started doing that. So we can't do that in the morning because everybody's trying to rush to work. But at night, we can. So before everyone goes to bed, we gather together, we sing, and we read from the Bible, and then we pray, we kiss each other goodnight, and that's it. And so even days when we're feeling tired now, they can remind and say, hey, we need to pray, even though they're not 3 years old yet. Right? That's how to start a family altar. It's as easy as that. And you know, I want to challenge the men. You've got to lead this. Don't leave this to your wife alone. You got to lead this. God has called us to be leaders in our home, right? So we've got to lead this. We've got to be the ones to initiate this. Get everybody together. Let's turn the TV off. 8 o'clock, 8:30, whatever time you want to do it. Let's pray. Show them the way. You know, growing up in Nigeria, where we have fair population of Muslims, from a very young age, they take them to the mosques and they teach them all this stuff about in the Quran and stuff, and they can recite a whole lot of things. So you see them, young child there, and he recite a lot of things. They go almost like every day. And then they teach them this and teach them this, which sometimes is why it's so hard for some of them to get converted if you're trying to talk to them about Christianity. Which is why sometimes some of them will get, what's the word now? Radicalized. Will get radicalized. Sometimes that's why you find some of them, they just believe anything and they just go that way, right? We have something to learn from that as well. And what we can learn is we can start them young. So let's start, especially for those of us who have young families, let's start them young. For those of us who have kids who are growing up as well, they might feel it's weird at first. We're like, what's dad doing? But it's okay. Start something. Build a family altar. You know, Abraham did that. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and 8, say Abraham made an altar to the Lord. If you also read Genesis 13, 18 as well, he made an altar to the Lord. And as he made this altar, there he prayed. Even when he was about to offer Isaac as well, when God was about to test him, the Bible says he made an altar. And there he called upon the name of the Lord. So it's important that we raise a family altar, have a time of prayer together, teach them the word of God. Which leads me to my next point. And what's my next point? Tell stories of God's goodness. You got to tell stories. I know Pastor Brian likes to talk a lot about this. I think the word you use is collection, having a good collection and stuff right there. So we got to tell them stories of God's goodness. We're going to tell them how God delivered us at different points in time. I got to tell my kids how about 1 week to when I was going to travel for my wedding, I was almost in an accident that I couldn't explain, but divinely, God delivered me. Right? I got to tell them a story like that because I didn't know how that I was delivered from that it was just weird. But I didn't know how I got in front of the car that was in front of me. It was just a miracle. It was just the hand of God. I got to tell them a story like that. I got to tell them about the many miracles of God. I got to tell them that when you guys were in the womb, we would go to the gynecologist and they would tell us that, hey, Glory, you are at risk. You're not eating. You're small in size and you're not eating. Things aren't going well for this second baby. And then we'll go home and then we'll pray and then we'll come and they're like, oh, this baby is perfectly fine. And then we'll go back again. They'll be like, no, this baby is at risk again. And we'll go pray again. We'll come and this baby is perfectly fine. And look at that baby today, almost 3 years old. I got to tell them that kind of story so that they can know that there is a God. Yeah. Let's tell them stories of God's goodness to us. But more importantly, too, let's tell them about our failures as well. And how God bailed us out of some of our failures. Because it's not about just telling them the good stuff alone. You got to tell them the bad stuff that we did as well. We got to tell them when we used to use a curse word, but how Jesus cleansed our mouth such that we no longer use a curse word anymore. We got to tell them those things as well. Because sometimes the best lessons in life can be learned through the mistakes of others. So we got to share that with them as well. And how God has been so good to us. So three things so far. You must know God for yourself. You must be born again. You must have a family altar, a time of prayer and fellowship together as a family. You must tell them story about God's goodness to you. And what's the fourth thing I want to talk about? You must be the example to them. I think this is the big one. I think this is the most difficult one. But through the grace of God, we can do this, right? We can do this through the grace of God. We got an example. We got to teach our kids how to give to God. Genesis 14:20 talks about that. When we come to church, you got to put something in the hands of your kids as well. It might be a dollar. It might be cents. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you can afford. Just put something in their hands as well so they can begin to learn how to give to God. So that by the time they grow up, tithing tithing becomes natural to them. Giving offering becomes natural to them. Generosity, helping the poor, becomes natural to them. We got to teach them these things. Genesis 15, verse 6, we got to teach them faith in God. Got to teach them how to have faith in God. When they're going through some difficult times, you got to say, can I join my hands with you? Can I pray with you about this? There's a story of a family friend of ours. Their son was trying to get in medical school, and things weren't working out. And for the first time, their son, who has never fasted in his life, came to the parents and said, "Dad, Mom and Dad, will you fast and pray with me? You know, and believe God with me so I can get in the medical school." So, and they said, "Wow, you mean this guy can fast and pray?" And they decided to do it together as a family. You know what? God came true. You know what God was trying to do? God was trying to teach that young man, because he believed so much in himself that he was so brilliant, he could do anything, he could accomplish anything, but his name was left off the list. So then he knew that he needed something greater than himself. But his parents were able to teach him faith in God, they were able to point him to God, that there is a power, there's a force greater. That when you run into situations that are beyond you, you can turn to him for help and you can get help. So we're going to teach our kids that too, right? Amen. So let's teach them that God can meet their needs. The fear of God. Let's teach them to put God first. Not soccer game first. Not food. Got to teach them God first. If there's something going on Sunday morning, baseball, whatever all it is, you got to let them know, honey, it's church, not baseball. Sometimes you got to be firm and stand up for them. It's okay if they insist that they're not going to make the team. There is a team that will make that's greater for them when they show up in church on Sunday morning, because that's the best place to be. We got to teach them that. We got to teach them morals. We got to teach them all this wonderful thing. You got to teach them even how to choose a spouse. You got to teach them how to treat a lady well, right, guys? You got to teach the lady how to know that it's the right guy. You know, in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 24, it was Abraham that was involved in how to get a wife for Isaac, son, right? And he said, "Hey, don't get a son from this culture of people that don't know the Lord. You need to find someone that knows the Lord for my child." So we got to teach our kids that too. Let's talk about this. Let's have an open forum with them. Because, you know, the thing is, if we don't teach them, other people will teach them out there. And they may teach them the wrong thing. So let's teach them the right thing that is in line with the Word of God. Amen. What's number five? You got to develop a church culture. I think I started talking about that already. Show them the place to be every Sunday is where? Not on the couch, right? Or where else do people go on? Not on the field, right? No, that's not where you need to be on Sundays. Even during the week. You know, we made a decision we're going to come to Wednesday night service, and we bring the kids. Now they love it. We come to Wednesday night service because we got to show them that it's the Sunday tonic is not enough. Yeah. And so sometimes they're like, sometimes on Monday or on Tuesday, they'll be like, "Mom, are we going to church? Mom, are we going to church?" No, it's Wednesday. We're going to church. Now they even talk about church more than we talk about church. So we got to develop that church culture in our kids. Sometimes, really, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm tired on Wednesday night. I'm coming from work. I'm like, I don't feel like going anywhere. And sometimes you know the series you're listening to already, like Willie George. I have a app on my phone. And sometimes I'm like, I can easily just sit at home and listen to this on my phone. I don't really have to go. But, you know, because of the girls, what do? I get in the van. I'm like, we got to go. And we have to do that as well. Let's develop a church culture. What's the number six? We got to discipline them. The Bible says, if you spare the rod, you do what? You spoil the child. Proverbs 13, 24. So discipline them. Sometimes you got to be firm. I'm not saying you abuse your children. That's not what I'm saying. Time out is a very, very good one. Give them time out, right? Maybe a little spanking sometimes. Is it recorded? Okay. All right, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. There are some certain age that the child will be at that you don't negotiate. You just say, you got to do this because it's the right thing for you to do, right? So I know we all know what I'm talking about. Final point there. Don't speak defeat. You got to speak what you want to see over your family. So there might be some of you here today and you're feeling like, my kids are growing up, but unfortunately, they just don't like this church thing. It might be maybe because the way I raised them and stuff like that. Or maybe you raised them well and things aren't just working out. You cannot afford to speak defeat. You got to speak what you want to see. If there is something that you have to go with today, it is this, that you got to speak what you want to see over your kids. In the same spirit of faith, we speak, we believe, therefore we speak. You got to speak over your children and say, my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Isaiah 54, verse 13. You got to speak over their future. Every day I speak over my kids. And my grace and glory, you're blessed. You're the light of the world. You shine bright. You're blessed. You're going out and you're coming in is blessed. You excel in life. You reign in life. You're favored. The hand of the Lord is upon you. The hand of the mighty one is upon you. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You speak over them, even from an early age. Speak what you want to see. Because it is by faith we have a faith walk. As I conclude this morning, there's a call. And the call is that we've got to pass on this good thing. This Christian faith that we have, that we've got to pass on to kids. As for me and my house, we have decided to serve the Lord. As for me, I have decided to pass it on to my kids. And then my kids will pass it on to their kids. And it keeps going. Because we cannot afford to be out of this plan that God has. The plan is that after we leave this world, it's going to take us to heaven. And we're going to enjoy heaven where God lives. But you know what? I want to have a reunion. How great will it be to see five generations of myself from now in heaven? And then be like, oh, my, I don't know how do you say it now in English. Great, 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 crank, and give them a hug. We're all in heaven. Okay? That will be so, so awesome. That's what God wants to do. So let's join in this plan as we make sure that we're born again, make sure that we start a walk with God, as we have a altar, a time of prayer, as you share God's goodness, as you become a great example, develop that church culture, as you discipline your children and speak in what you want to see over their lives. Let's rise up as we pray. Are we ready to do that?
Yes.
Okay, some people are not ready. I think I have to start again. I don't know where we are. We're just thinking about it, right? Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can we just focus on the Lord this morning? Can we just focus on the Lord this morning? I don't know what God has spoken to you about this morning, but will you make a commitment to him this morning to pass it on? Will you make a commitment to him to continue this family business? You know, I talked about that reunion in heaven. It's going to be great. But you have a part to play in making that happen, right? And we can do it in Jesus' name. We can do it by the grace of God. We know it's not by power. We know it's not by might. But through the help of the Spirit of God, we can do this. We can teach our kids the way of the Lord. We can pass it on. We can stand out. As a young man, you can stand out. As a young woman, you can stand out. You can be that light that the world needs. You can be that hope that people at your place of work needs. And you can pass it on. The Bible talks about the God of Elijah and the Elisha. Without an Elijah, there will not have been an Elisha. The Bible talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Without Abraham, there will not have been an Isaac. So without you doing something today, there might not be another seed that will carry on this plan of God. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We give you praise.